Truly is a joy for me to be able to be back with you, to be invited to come back. I was able to come and speak a few months ago and be able to come back. I always wonder when you get invited back to a place, did you really do okay the first time, or did some sweet sister say to the elders or Chris, he really can't be all that bad all the time, give him one more chance. So whatever the reason for that, for being able to be back, I'm glad to be with you. I appreciate so much the reason that I'm here, and that being that Chris and so many folks have gone to Maywood Christian Camp. I am biased and I am prejudiced, and I admit it up front. But Christian camps, to me, are one of the best things in our brotherhood and have been for many, many, many years. I used to attend Maywood Camp back in the 70s. That was the 1970s, not the 1870s, but back in the 70s, and wonderful things there were helpful to me. I'm on the board of Indian Creek Youth Camp down in Walker County. I've been going there with my family for about 25 years. And I don't know of anything in our brotherhood that does more good than efforts like these. And if you get a chance to go down this week at 6:45 for the evangelistic period or earlier in the day, especially if you've not been, I highly encourage you to go and to be a part of that. So many things in our brotherhood now. Christian camps, Maywood and Indian Creek and Backwoods and others. And things like the Titus Group and things like CYC, Exposure, Evangelism University. There are a multiplicity of ways to encourage our young people and help them grow in the Lord. And God be our helper to encourage them in those things. I love sports. I really do. And we spend a lot of time and a lot of money and a lot of energy in sports camps and training and things like that. And I have absolutely nothing against that. Whatever they play, whatever boys, girls play in sports, one day that's probably going to come to an end. And when we can invest time and energy and money in those things that are eternal, that will help our children and their friends to know God and to know heaven and to want to go there. I can't imagine anything any better. So pray for Chris and pray for the group that will be down there this week, that much good will come, much will be learned, God will be praised and loved, and souls will be brought closer to heaven. Matthew chapter 13 is our launching pad this morning, and it's a chapter in which there are at least six parables that Jesus teaches, and he sits down in a boat and he's talking to people that have gathered to listen to him. And there's a lot of reasons people listen to Jesus, and the most probable being was because they marveled that he taught as one having authority, not as the scribes. He truly was the Son of God, and what he said was always true. And in this parable that was so well read for us this morning in our hearing, it begins by talking about a sower going forth to sow seeds. And you've studied the parable. You've read the parable. You've probably looked at it from numerous angles. And we've talked about what happened to the seed. And we've talked about the four things that happened to the seed. And sometimes we kind of do math with that and we say, well, three out of the four of those seeds or places the seeds found themselves, three out of the four were unproductive, and so we shouldn't be shocked when the Word of God is rejected by people. And that's true. And yet, I don't think that Jesus meant by percentage-wise that every time we present the gospel to four people, three of them are going to reject it. But I want us to focus this morning on just a few words, not necessarily on what happens to the seed, but I want us to focus this morning on, if I'll turn that on, that'll work better. I want us to focus on what Jesus said in John chapter 4 and verse 35. The fields are white unto harvest. And if I can accomplish anything in this lesson this morning, it would be this: to encourage and to motivate us to an even greater degree to be sowers of seeds. I'm fully convinced with all my being this morning that what we're going to talk about, every child of God can do. We sometimes talk about things and read things and see things and we say, that's a good thing, but that's not within my ability, not within my capability. But I want to share this morning something that all of us can do. And I really want to focus this morning on seven words. And I want to offer quickly seven thoughts from seven words in that third verse. Behold, the sower went forth to sow. We think sometimes today about what can be done, what should be done, what others could do, or what might take place and happen. But in every one of our hands, in a spiritual sense, God has provided seeds for us. And by seeds, what God has provided for us are opportunities to share the good news about Him. I appreciate the coordination of our song service this morning. The love of God, the love of Christ. And it's that we both live and that we share with other people. When we consider the concept of what the seed is in the parable, Jesus wasn't just teaching about farming, though He certainly was adequate to do that. He certainly was capable of doing that. But in Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, a further documentary on, or at least explanation on this, is the seed is the Word of God. He said, "Behold, the sower went forth to sow." And so what we're talking about is we're talking about sharing the Word of God with others. I think it's interesting that he just simply begins by identifying the person involved. And he doesn't give them their given name. He doesn't use their surname. He said, "The sower." That was the identification of the person in this parable. They're a sower. And what do sowers do? They sow. The sower went forth to sow seed. He didn't say the sower went to go fishing. I like to go fishing. He didn't say the sower went hunting. I like to go hunting. He didn't say the sower went to the ball game. I like to go to ball games. But sowers sow seeds. And I hope that each of us this morning, in a spiritual sense, can see ourselves as that sower. One who is sharing the good news. One who is sharing the Word of God with other people. I want, hopefully, for us to stretch and to expand our mind this morning as well. Because we can pigeonhole, we can categorize, we can limit, we can narrow down what that means if we're not careful. When I think about the sower sowing spiritual seeds, I may think about Harry and others that go a long way from here, across the ocean, thousands of miles to share the gospel with people that dress differently and look differently and eat different food and have a different culture. And that's a part of sowing the seed. I may be thinking about people knocking on doors and asking people, "Would you like to know more about Jesus? Would you like to know more about the Bible? Would you like to come and visit with us at Flynn and learn about God?" That's certainly a way of sowing seeds. We may think about people that do individual Bible studies with people and sit down and talk to them in a formatted and organized way about God, about the Bible, about heaven, about Christian living, about eternity. And that's certainly a way. But there are so many ways when we think about sowing seeds. Little things. Little things like a kind word. Little things like a kind deed. We'll talk a little bit later about living the Christian life and how that is something that ultimately is important. First thing, the first suggestion I would make this morning is that to sow the seed, we must be committed to the Lord. There's a level of commitment in your life that I can recognize this morning, though I don't know very many of you personally. But there's a level of commitment because you are here. You weren't forced to be here. You weren't compelled to be here by law enforcement and hopefully not by anyone in your family or anyone else. So there's a level. But there are a lot of levels of commitment. And there is a great difference at times, or there certainly can be, between people that are connected to the Lord and people that are committed to the Lord. If I'm only connected to the Lord, I may let this hour be the only hour I have very much religious or spiritual affiliation this week. If I'm only connected to the Lord, I may look and see, well, what is it that I have to do? Do I really have to go to Bible class? What about the Sunday night? What about the Wednesday night service? What about the times we have gospel meetings and other things? I can have a connection and wonder about those things, or at least ask myself questions. But if I have a commitment, every time God's people assemble, I want to be with them. Every opportunity I have to learn more, to share more, to be an encouragement, to be a Barnabas, I want to be that. And I think about commitment in the words of Jesus when he said, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I think about commitment in his words in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 when he said, seek first the kingdom of God. If he just simply said, seek the kingdom, we could have placed it in any order we wanted and said, Lord, I'm doing your will. I'm seeking it. But he said, above all other things, when my life, as Paul talked about, is hid in Christ with God, and it is the primary focus of all that I do. But it impacts and affects everything about my life, from my work to my recreation to school to ball games to shopping to everything that's a part of me. I'm committed. And being committed to the Lord, I want to be sowing seeds, because I know that if I don't, and if you don't, and if God's people don't, then certainly those seeds can't be sown. To sow the seed, we must have a concern for the lost. We must care about people. We must believe what the Bible says. That those that don't repent, Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, will perish. That apart from Jesus Christ and His grace and His blood and His mercy and His love, we will all spend eternity in a place called hell. I recognize what Jesus said in the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, that more will be lost that go the broad way, and then will be saved that walk in the narrow way. Do I care that people are lost? Do I care that I have and that you have that which will allow them to be saved? Paul said in Romans 1:16 and 17, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. If I knew that every person in this building had an incurable disease, that in a short period of time you would die with that disease, and I had a prescription, I had a cure that I could give to you, and I knew what your situation was, and I knew what I had, and I just walked out those doors with no concern for you and no concern for your condition, you'd probably think, how cold, how hard-hearted. Where in you is any smidgen of love? And yet, in many circumstances, in many settings, most of the people around us are lost. Maybe it's in our neighborhood. Maybe it's in our workplace. Maybe it's in the people we see at the ballparks or wherever. And we know not because we're the judge, but we know because of what the Bible teaches and what folks have and have not done, that they're lost. Do I care? Does it make any difference to me that friends, families, total strangers would be lost forever when I have and you have the message that would bring them to the Lord, the message that would offer unto them the hope of salvation? So the seed, we must have the courage to speak up. That's hard sometimes. Because when I sow the seeds in an evangelistic fashion, I run a risk. And you run a risk in what happens to the seed as it's sown and to the response of the person that's sowing the seed. But you know, when we examine in whole the passage, the parable, 75% of the time the seed didn't accomplish what it hoped. The sower knew that. He wasn't a rookie. This wasn't his first time out or her first time out. And yet they sowed the seed anyway, taking all the risk, understanding all the potentials of what could happen. They sowed the seed anyway. One of the mindsets that I think is critical for us in being good seed sowers, shares of the message. And there's a football coach in this state that's been rather successful that talks about this all the time. And he says the focus is to be, if you're really going to be ultra successful, on the process and not on the results. It's not about, well, what's the score going to be when the last horn goes off on Saturday or Friday night, or if the last out in the ninth inning. If you focus on the process of preparation, then all those other things will eventually take care of themselves. If I get so concerned about results and sowing seed, I'm going to get discouraged, because there are people that are going to say no. There are people that are going to get mad. There are people that are going to be offended. People that are going to be apathetic. There are going to be a lot of responses that I would not desire, and you would not desire. And so if I focus on results, if I'm result-oriented, 25%, if that's all that happens, rather if I'm focused, if I am focused on the process, I'm going to sow the seed. I'm going to let God take care of the rest. I'm going to let people choose to obey or to disobey. If there is criticism, if there is ridicule, so be it. That's a part of the process, but I'm going to have the courage to speak up. How many times, how many opportunities do we have on a regular basis to say something about our Lord? How many conversations are going on now about all the things that are going on in our world? I appreciate what's been said in our prayers today about those things, and how that those things are making headlines and they're drawing attention. When's the last time we've been involved in one of those conversations? Gently and kindly but courageously said, you know, Jesus is the answer to all those problems. The Bible has the answer to all of the evil and the wicked and those things that are taking place in the world today. When people talk about being disgruntled about religion today and all the different ways that things are going, we want the courage to speak up and say, you know, the Bible talks about spirituality. It talks about the church. It talks about unity. And the Bible has the answers to all the spiritual questions. You see, my Lord didn't only stand up for me, He hung up for me upon the cross. And I want to have that courage to speak up, whatever the response may ultimately be. And what we find is, though people may not agree, the great majority of the time, they'll respect the fact that we take a stand. To sow the seed, we must have contact that encourages. Contact that encourages. I wish I had the time this morning. I've got a tackle box in my shed, and when I go fishing, I carry my tackle box. Probably a lot of fishing folks in here. When you go fishing, you carry your tackle box too, because there are different lures, there are different baits, there are different things that you need to be successful. Well, in my study at home, I've got a spiritual tackle box. And I hope you've got one in your home as well. I've got things in that spiritual tackle box like muscle and a shovel. When shovels break, Bible correspondence courses, open Bible studies, DVDs, a number of things so that when the opportunity presents itself, I'm ready. Paul said he was ready. I'm ready. Be ready always, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. After you've sanctified the Lord God in your heart, to give an answer to every man that asks you of the reason, the hope that lies within you with meekness and with fear. But I don't just want to be on the defense. I don't want to just be ready when people ask me. I want to go on the offense. Do you enjoy studying the Bible? Here's a little study that I think will help you. You want to go to heaven? Here's a little study. Here's a book that will help you go to heaven. You want to learn more about Jesus? Here's a DVD that'll help you do that. Take a look. Let me know what you think. There's not a person in here that could accurately and truthfully say, there's no way I can sow seed. There's nothing that I can do. Now, we may say, well, I can't get up and preach, or I can't go to another land and teach, or I can't do this, or I can't do that. We take things as simple as house to house, heart to heart, put a label on them, put them in places like doctor's offices or dentist offices, or hand them to people and say, do you enjoy good family-friendly reading? Here's something good. And on that label it says, if you'd like this to come to you free of charge, just text this number or call this number. You're sowing seeds. And you never know what's going to happen when you and when I sow the seed. And so I need to find out. I need to be ready. My truck right now, their Bible correspondence courses, their house-to-house, heart-to-heart, their DVDs. I want to be ready so that when that opportunity presents itself, I don't have to go, if I'd only had something to give them, or if I'd only had something to say. Keep your spiritual tackle box up to date. Sow the seed, we must be connected to the Master. It goes back to the first point about being committed to the Lord. I need to be connected to the Master. And by being connected, I mean in part this. Luke records this about Jesus, the Son of Man. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. If the mission of my Lord was to seek and save the lost, and if I am to be like my Lord, that becomes my mission. And though He lived perfectly, and I will never live perfectly, I can live faithfully, and I can walk with Him, and I can walk in His footsteps, and I can live like He wants me to live, and I can love like He wants me to love, and I can share like He wants me to share, and others can see Jesus living with me. You remember when the apostles were being mistreated, when they're being beaten for teaching the truth? And one of the comments was, or at least a couple of the comments were, these fellows aren't all that smart. They're not very educated. They're just old Galileans. But they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. I want people to connect me to the Master, not because of me. I want them to connect me to the Master because that's where I'm trying to get folks to go. Sow the seed. I've got to have character that reflects God's plan, not perfection. I have my issues, you have yours. They may be different, they may be the same. I have the areas that I need to work on a regular basis, and you do as well. And that's the reason God extends grace and mercy to us. But there's a character, there's a reflection. We're to be, Jesus said, the light of the world. We're to be the city that's set on the hill. We're to be the salt of the earth. And we're to let our light shine that others may see our good and glorify the Father which is in heaven. If the message of my life is distinctly different in a negative way from the message that I'm trying to share with others, it won't ever work. It can't ever work because they're going to see in me that's different than what I'm recommending. My character. My character must be that which reflects God's plan. It's okay that people see my flaws. It's okay that people see my warts. It's okay that people see my shortcomings. Because in seeing those things, if I'm what I ought to be, when I have those things, I repent of those things and I change. And people see that I'm human. And they see that you're human. And they realize that the Christian life is a life that ultimately can be lived. It doesn't require sinless perfection. To sow the seed, we must consider the consequences. What happens if I don't sow the seed? What happens if you don't sow the seed? Jesus isn't coming back to do that. Now, He is coming back. He's not coming back to say, well, those folks in 2016, they are just not going to get the message out about me, so I'm going to have to go back to the earth, and I'm going to have to tell the folks. He's not doing that. Paul's not coming back. The apostles are not coming back. If the seed is to be sown, it's you, it's me, it's us to gather. Sowing the seed of our Lord. If the seed doesn't get sown, then there'll be souls that'll miss heaven. There'll be those people that could have been taught otherwise that will miss heaven because you and I didn't make the effort, didn't have the compassion, didn't have the commitment to reach them. If you and I don't sow the seed, we're going to stand before God to give an explanation. We studied in our class, wonderful class this morning, about a man that came to the wedding feast and he was out without the garment, without the wedding garment. And he was asked, what's up? What's going on with the garment? Why don't you have the wedding garment? He was speechless. And if God asked me, if He asked you on the day of judgment, why did you not sow the seed? Why were you not committed to sow the seed? I don't know that there's a good answer I could give. There certainly is not an excuse that I can think of that I would want to offer for him. You see, not only will the others be lost, I'll be lost if I don't follow God's will in doing what I'm able to do. Into each of our hands are given seeds. And I'm convinced from Matthew 25 and other passages that when I share those seeds, when I plant those seeds, God will give more seeds and more opportunities into my hand and into yours to share the good news of Jesus with others. The question that I leave us this morning with, are we sowing? Are we sowing the seed? We sing that song sometimes. Are we sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother? I want to encourage us. Let's be good seed sowers. Let's look for opportunities. Let's conduct ourselves in such a way and devote ourselves to the cause of the Lord. Every day that we live, we can sow good seeds of our Lord. If you're not a Christian today, before you can begin to sow those seeds with others, you must be obedient yourself. You must accept the Lord's teachings and turn from your sin, confess that Jesus is God's Son, and be baptized. We'd encourage you to do that today. That is the gospel. That is the Word of God. That is what God wants to do for you if you're willing to obey Him. If you're a child of God, but your life, character of your life, wouldn't reflect in a positive way, and it would be difficult, if not impossible, to sow the seed because there are things that you need to correct in your life. Why don't you correct those today? Make them right. Be a good sower of the seed in God's kingdom. If we can help you, let us know now as we stand and sing together.